Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, your one stop for creative inspiration. We have a terrific hour of ideas and tips for you today. So let's get to it. Here's your host, Pat Sloan.
Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm Pat Sloan, and today I am so excited to have Carolyn Freelander here. She is a fabric designer, a pattern designer, and an advocate of slow sewing. So I'm really curious because I want to find out what all this slow sewing is about because, you know, maybe that's like a new thing I need to know. Carolyn comes from an architecture training and she brings all this into the quilt world. And I just love her style and her quilts are super amazing. So, Carolyn, welcome to the show.
Hi, Pat. Thanks so much for having me.
You know, Carolyn, I was reading your bio, and you grew up in rural Florida on a farm. And to be honest, farms, I never think of Florida as having farms. You know, they have beaches. And I know there's a big middle part, and that must be where the farms are.
That's right. There are so many different parts of Florida. People are often surprised by that. But yes, I grew up on a rural part of Florida on a cattle and citrus ranch, and it was great.
So do you think that growing up, that kind of growing up in that sort of, remote type of small town influences what you're doing now?
Oh, definitely. I loved growing up on a cattle ranch. In fact, going through high school, I didn't like it as much, and I wanted to get out of Florida, but then spending time away really made me miss it so much and realize why it was such a great place to grow up. And a big part of that was, growing up on a ranch, my brother, sister, and I, we didn't have any TV, we didn't have neighbors, so we pretty much had to use our imaginations for everything. And so it was really great.
And this was a big ranch, right?
Yeah, about 640 acres was,
yeah,
was
I
our
can't
backyard.
Even imagine. Yeah, it's like the whole middle of Florida. Yeah, that's a... That's just, so at one point you decided that you were interested in architecture. How did that happen?
Yeah, I loved the idea of studying architecture because I thought that it would be such a great mix of creative stuff and then some analytical stuff. And so that's why I set off to study architecture because I loved, training in art, but I also loved, math and some of that stuff. So I thought it would really mesh those things really well.
And so did you work as an architect for a while or?
Yeah, so I ended up getting a degree in architecture from Washington University in St. Louis, and then I lived in St. Louis for a few years afterwards, and I worked at an architecture firm, which was really interesting. I saw a bunch of different stuff. But it was nice to I eventually found quilting, and so I became completely obsessed with quilting, and so today I'm really I've kind of fully transitioned over to being a quilter.
And do you live in Florida still, or did you go back?
I do. So I lived in St. Louis for a while, and like I said, I really missed Florida for a lot of reasons, but I ended up moving back, and so that's where I live now. I live back in the country, which is still what I love, and it's been great inspiration.
Like your look, your colors and everything are a little bit, they look like someone who lives in a sort of sun-filtered area, the colors are clear. And so I think that's pretty exciting when I hear where you live and I look at your quilts. It's like, oh, I can see that. You're not in a farm in Ohio. I mean, you could do that in a farm in Ohio. But so when you found quilting, did you have quilters in your family?
I did, yeah. My mom's side of the family and even the women on my dad's side of the family, a lot of them made all kinds of stuff. And so I really grew up around a lot of sewing. My mom, she sewed all the clothes for my brother and sister and me growing up. And so I had a lot of exposure from very early on, which was great.
Did you ever make traditional quilts? Because your quilts don't look traditional now.
I feel like I've made all kinds of stuff, but... I guess when I came into quilting, I was kind of exposed to it through my mom, and what drew me in first was the free motion quilting itself. I saw that, and this was while I was kind of more as an adult while I was practicing architecture, I thought it really looked like drawing, but just with fabric and thread. And so I thought that just looked so cool. So that's what pulled me in first, was the quilting itself.
Oh, that's interesting, because I don't, you know, that there is a segment of people that are drawn like you are, but it's always, I always find that fascinating, because for a lot of us, that's like we hire somebody to do that part, you know, it's like not the...
Well, the fabrics and stuff, too, they pulled me in, too. I mean, it didn't take long before I was all the bright colors and everything else, but yeah, really the quilting was first.
So can you describe your style of quilting now? I love the quilt called The Local of the Houses. That is just awesome.
Oh, well, thanks. So The Local quilt was my first house quilt, and I'd always wanted to do a house quilt, and that came out with, and that's actually a block of the month that I did, and it was coming out the same time my first fabric line came out, which was last year at this same time, and the line was called Architectures, and so I felt like to do a house quilt, it was kind of the perfect time when I had this kind of architectural fabric coming out. And so
Paper-pieced, or is that...
It's paper-pieced.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I love paper-piecing. It's great. It's one of my favorite techniques.
So you're when you go about designing, because your pieces are more contemporary, you know, these are like mid-century modern homes. What is your process for designing a quilt?
Well, I guess I could, my process for that quilt was, it usually, and this is all kind of the same, I'll get an idea in my head, but like with that one, I had this idea of a house quilt, and I love working from drawings, and I love working from inspiration. And so what I did with that quilt was I actually drove around my town just scoping out all these different old houses. And so I actually took all the inspiration from several different houses that I went out just one day, did all these sketches. And so eventually those turned into the blocks that are in the project itself.
Oh, that's pretty cool. So they're actually homes in your neighborhood. I like that. We could all do that, couldn't we? We could just go around.
Oh,
and...
totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, inspiration's everywhere. Yeah.
And they have what looks like little palm trees, too.
Oh, yes. I do love the palm trees and shrubs. And I played around with a couple other types of trees when I was working on that design, but the palm trees really worked out the best.
Yeah, they look
like,
awesome on there.
I like the flavor.
So I want to be sure we talk about slow sewing, because I just think this is so interesting. Tell me what you're doing with this.
Yeah, so slow sewing, it's, well, first of all, I guess I could say I started out a new pattern group that I've released this year that I've called the Slow Sewing Studio, but it's all based on this idea of slow sewing, which to me, it's all about slowing down. I love the idea of unplugging and just enjoying the process as much as the result. And so one way that I love to do that is through handwork. I love needle turn applique. And so the first group of projects within that are all utilize that technique. And I just love the idea of having these projects that we can, you know, be more mindful in our making and really kind of take with us and enjoy with others. So take them to our guild meetings and, you know, these little things that we can just pick up when we have a few moments to kind of really, the idea is to savor each stitch. That's my...
You know, I think it's always wonderful to have handwork, don't you? Just, you know, something you can take along, like you said. Yeah, you have to have
it. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, and it's such a great mental break for me just to, at the end of the day, just to have some hand sewing just to really get me in the right state of mind.
It's like a decompress and just relax and let your mind. Yeah. So what's been the most popular of the patterns in that series?
Well, quite a few have been popular. One of my favorites is the Alturist design, which is, it's inspired by Hawaii, you know, one of the inspirations is Hawaiian applique, which I love. And then also they kind of look, the blocks themselves actually look like little retro bathroom tiles to me. And so I just imagine this whole wall of them, and that's how that pattern kind of evolved. So that's been one of my favorites. And then another really popular one in the group has been the social tote, which is, you know, with handwork, I feel like you need to have something to haul your handwork. And so I was very excited to have Anagram of Noodlehead come in and collaborate with me on the design of this special tote bag to carry your handwork.
It's pretty cool. I like the shape of it, and it looks like a lot of fun to use. You know, it's that sort of rectangular, firm-sided piece. And you have great fabric in it. Is that your fabric?
Oh, thanks. Probably. I've made several samples. So, yeah, I've made quite a few with my own fabric. But, yeah, the idea was I wanted, like, a bento box for all your sewing goodies.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's
it's
perfect.
Worked out really great.
That's, that's the one I want to make. I'm going to make that one. So we have just, like, half a minute. Do you want to share what's new and coming out for you? What's new?
Sure. I've got, I'm getting ready for Quilt Market, and I've got a brand new fabric line coming out called Botanics, coming out with Robert Kaufman. And then I'll have two new quilt patterns, one in my slow sewing group and the other one in my paper piecing series. So I'm excited about all of that.
Carolyn, that sounds exciting, and I hope to see you there in a couple weeks.
Sounds good. I'll look forward to it.
Yay! So this is American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. Visit Carolyn at Carolyn Friedlander, FriedlanderFriedlander.com. And we're going to take a little break. And when we come back, I have another guest, and it's going to be pretty exciting.
Boost your sewing skills from start to finish with daily tips from the editors of American Patchwork and Quilting. Visit tips.allpeoplequilt.com for inspiration. This quilting tip brought to you by Moda Fabrics. Visit modafabrics.com or your local quilt shop to see the latest fabric collections. Set yourself up to stitch a little every day. When you finish stitching, before putting everything away, rethread your needle and take the first stitch. Then the next time you pull out your project, you'll be ready to sit down and start stitching. Make the most of your sewing machine by watching Machine Minute videos brought to you by Babylock. Learn about popular topics like tension troubles, stitch length, needles, buttonholes, zipper basics, and more. Watch these videos at allpeoplequilt.com/videos.
Take an ultimate shop hop tour of 11 top quilt shops. You'll find them all in the current issue of Quilt Sampler, available now at your local quilt shop or on newsstands.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. We are sponsored by Moda Bake Shop. Go and visit them at modabakeshop.com, where you can find all kinds of exciting patterns, free patterns for all kinds of fun projects. So I have to tell you, when I saw Carly Porter's quilt called Shimmering Symphony, I was like, you know, trying to find out who she was as fast as I could to invite her to come on the show. This is just quite a spectacular quilt. And if you've looked at my blog today, you can see the picture of it. It's just wonderful. So she is just a super quilter, and I wonder have her come on and talk about her process and all kinds of things that she's doing. So welcome to the show, Carly.
Hey, thank you. I'm happy to be on.
So you told me you're a fairly new quilter, which nobody would believe by seeing your work. I can tell you that. how did you discover quilting?
Well, about 4 years ago, right after I got married, I was sending out my resume just looking for a full-time job, and one of the companies that I applied to is Handy Quilter, and I had no idea, you know, I had never heard of this company, and when I got the job here, I was like, they have machines that do this? Because I remember growing up, you know, with my grandma and my mom laying underneath the big wooden 2x4 frames, and they would push the needle down and I would stick it back up. And, you know, and that's always what I thought of quilting was just those big frames in your grandma's living room. So that was kind of when I had this epiphany of, oh my gosh, there's a whole nother world of quilting. So that was kind of my birth into the quilting industry.
Well, you know, that's pretty wild because, you know, most of us don't plop right into the business side of it without, you know, with no knowledge of it like that. And then you go right in there and find out about the quilting part of it, which a lot of us come from doing patchwork or applique first. So your piece, Shimmering Symphony, is all quilting. It's not, would you call it a whole cloth? Because there isn't any patchwork or applique.
Yep, it's just one single piece of fabric, and all of the design is done with thread work and bobbin work and couching and hot fix crystals.
Yes, lots of crystals.
So, yeah. Now, I should have counted. I can figure it's probably over 1,000, but I haven't taken the time to count.
Oh, wow. Tons and tons of crystals. So tell me, when you're, you know, this is like a piece where somebody must have, you know, I always look at it and think you must have drawn all your life. Do you come from a sketching, an art background?
I do. Probably from the time that I was 9 or 10 years old and I got my first sketchbook, I started just carrying it with me everywhere I went. I have kind of a pen fetish that I still carry around, you know, 40 or 50 pens in my purse with my sketchbook. So I've always considered myself an artist. And I always knew I wanted to do something art-related when I grew up. And so I think finding quilting was kind of finally finding the medium where I could, you know, transfer all the art skills that I had worked on into something more tangible. So yeah, I'm an avid believer in carrying a journal and a sketchbook wherever you go.
I know, and it's a really good habit, and I think a lot of us who don't, you know, even though I draw, I'm not come from that sketch all the time background, but I think it's a super good habit to have. Everybody can sketch, you know, it's just so neat. Tell me, Carly, what is the process when you want to design a quilt? You know, it doesn't have to necessarily be Shimmering Symphony, but, you know, maybe what you're currently working on even, you know, what do you do to get the idea flowing?
I think pretty much every major quilt that I've done has started with my sketchbook, where I like to just throw stuff down on paper and not worry about, you know, oh, am I going to ruin this piece of fabric, or am I going to spend so much time on one thing and then ruin it with another element? So I like that I can just kind of, you know, freeform, let things flow, and then later on I can kind of pick out the elements that I like and the elements that I want to incorporate. So I think a lot of just freehand drawing really helps me. And I also have a lot of background doing like Photoshop. So a lot of the designs that I'll draw, I like to take into Photoshop and manipulate from there going forward. So I was lucky enough to marry pretty much a computer whisperer. He's like the smartest computer guy I've ever met. And luckily I'm married to him. So, you know, he kind of helps me when I want to turn things technical, you know, he's such a good help that he can be like, well, if you Photoshopped it, then maybe that would, you know. So yeah.
Sounds like you're a good pair.
I would say so. I definitely got the longer end of the stick, but I'll take it.
I know. Yes, it's nice being married to tech support, free tech support, you know, for life. That's good.
Yeah, so, and always the latest and greatest computer.
Oh, yes. Well, of course. Yeah, that goes with the territory when you marry tech support. Yeah, they want the newest equipment. Yeah. So tell me, Carly, you actually put some of your pieces into patterns now. So like Shimmering Symphony, I know a lot of people have been very anxious because it's so gorgeous that they wanted to recreate it for themselves. And you now sell patterns.
I do. That particular quilt, I have a pattern available just on my website, carlyporter.blogspot.com. And right now it's a digital file. So the way that people can purchase it is they would pay for it and then they would receive it like through email in a digital pattern. And then I'm also working on getting, with that same design, having a printed pattern. as well as printing it directly onto fabric so that people can just buy the panel and quilt it themselves, and it's already on the fabric. So,
well, because
so, yeah,
it's
that
music.
One's kind of been in high demand. So.
Right. With it being music, so many people love music and have people that would, you know, you should do really well with that. It's just gorgeous. Now you also do other things with words that totally fascinate me because I love words and, quotes, and you are taking those on. Now, are they printed on the fabric and then you're quilting around them?
Yeah. So that's the perfect example of kind of the Photoshop stuff that I like to do, where sometimes I'll just take an entire design and do it all in Photoshop and then have it printed onto fabric and then go straight to quilting so that I don't have to applique because I'm not good at applique, and I don't have to piece because I'm not good at piecing. So I just can skip that just by printing it on fabric. And that's been really fun to, you know, see a piece of fabric that was printed and then compare it to what it looks like when it's done being quilted. It's the same design, but it looks so different. So it's really cool to see that transformation between just, you know, something I Photoshopped all the way to a finished quilt.
So are you doing competition work? Like, do you make quilts? You think, okay, I'd like to enter this in a show. Is that sort of your hobby, let's say, because you have a full-time job as, you know, at Handy Quilter?
Yeah. When I first got into quilting, I was very like, oh, I want to enter all the AQS shows. I want to, you know, see if I can win some prize money and all that stuff. And I really like doing show quilts, and I did that a lot last year where I tried to enter as many shows as possible. And then actually this year I've kind of stepped back from the, you know, the chase of fame and fortune type stuff. And I wanted to do something a little more philanthropic with quilting, and so this whole year I've just been doing typography quilts that I show on my blog, and each month I'll do a different quilt that has like a motivational theme behind it. And then at the end of the year I'm gonna auction off for charity. So I'm excited to get back to show quilts, but it's been kind of nice to have a year where I'm not really worrying about how perfect the technique is or you know, making sure it's the exact dimensions of a show quilt, but kind of trying to use my talents to help other people and to encourage other people and motivate people to, you know, want to do better. And so that's why I chose to do kind of a motivational theme behind each month, you know, quilt. So it's been kind of cool to feel like I can kind of impact people more with my talents. So.
Well, the one that you have, you know, people can go to your site, carleyporter.blogspot.com, and that's K-A-R-L-E-E Porter. And then you actually have beautiful close-up shots so that those who want to see how you quilt it and your thought process can get a nice detailed look.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
So do you have...
It's been fun to kind of reach out to people with, you know, technology. It's amazing how you can just put yourself on the World Wide Web and kind of see what comes back. It's kind of cool to put yourself out there.
Well, and I think that what you're doing is really, really beautiful, Carly. I'm so glad you came on the show.
Thank you. Thanks. I'm happy to be asked.
Yeah, I just love the whole idea of the words. It's amazing. So everybody has to go visit you, okay?
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Well, you have a good day, and everybody will go visit you at carleyporter.blogspot.com and see all of her really neat quilting. We are going to take a break. This is PatSloan.com. We'll be back, and when we are, Jennifer Keltner of American Patchwork and Quilting Radio will be joining me. She is the editor, and we are going to be talking about some Stash RX. And that's going to be a lot of fun.
Choose from more than 100 of your favorite patterns from American Patchwork and Quilting, Quilts and More, and Quilt Sampler, all available online. Buy downloadable patterns today at apqshop.com.
This quilting tip brought to you by Moda Fabrics. Visit motifabrics.com or your local quilt shop to see the latest fabric collections. To store a matching spool and bobbin together, thread both onto a long pipe cleaner and twist the pipe cleaner ends together.
Here's a special offer just for radio listeners. Get 2 full years of American Patchwork and Quilting delivered right to your door for less than half the cost on the newsstand. You won't miss an issue that's packed with never-before-seen projects from top designers, complete materials lists for all projects, and easy-to-use pull-out patterns and quilting diagrams. Subscribe today online, and you'll also get a free downloadable pattern. Check it out. Go to allpeoplequilt.com.
Follow American Patchwork and Quilting on Pinterest to find ideas for bags, baby projects, pillowcases, storage and organization, and more. Visit Pinterest.com/APQ magazine to join the fun.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and I'm here with the editor from American Patchwork and Quilting Magazine, Jennifer Keltner. And we are going to talk a little Stash RX. You guys had a fantastic article by that title. Tell me about it.
In our June 2013 issue, it's also available digitally. If you don't have that issue in your archives at home, you can get it at
allpeoplequilt.com/get-digital.
All of our magazines are there. So it was our June 2013 issue of American Patchwork and Quilting. And the idea for this article we had really had sort of in the back of our mind for a couple of years. We were trying to figure out, what do you do with those fabrics that you have in your stash that you bought because you loved them, but you don't know how to mix them with new things? You either didn't buy a collection of fabrics that go together, or you were in the, we call it the quilt shop trance, where you just picked something up and you're like, I have to have this. I'm on vacation. I need some Route 66 fabric, but I don't know what I'll ever do with it. And then how do you incorporate that into quilts and not have the guilt that we sometimes feel as quilters of like, what was I thinking? Why did I buy 2 yards of this? I don't know what to do.
I totally relate, that I'm addicted to buying just one piece. That I do that a lot. I don't buy any companions for it. One fabulous piece, like on vacation.
Right.
You know, what do you do with that one great big, you know, print that you got?
Right. So we were so excited when we kind of crossed paths with Weeks Ringel. She and her husband, Bill Kerr, are from Modern Quilt Studios. And Weeks was teaching a class, and it was described as rediscovering your stash. And the explanation for this class was gain color confidence and plan creative ways to use your stash. Mix a big dose of color theory and color exploration with an in-depth discussion of combining patterns and a pinch of working with large-scale fabrics, and you'll end up with a plan for projects you want to make from the fabrics you already have.
Wow.
Who wouldn't want to sign up for that class, right? So we were excited to. I actually got to meet up with Weeks, and we went to a quilt shop in Madison, Wisconsin. It was a Stitcher's Crossing, and we were super excited because when we were photographing for this story, we were actually in a quilt shop that was just like any quilt shop that any of our readers could go to. So it was real life, and I took pieces from my stash so that I could walk through the process with Weeks and really try to explain that to our readers. So what we're going to talk about today is really what came out of that article. And for those who don't have that article or that issue, you can also go to allpeoplequilt.com/StashRX and get a download of that article so that you can see what we did.
Ah. So what would be the first thing like that you talked about when you got with Weeks?
Well, I pulled out my stash, and really the most exciting thing was I had, I don't know, 40 pounds worth of stash, and it wasn't even putting a dent in what I owned. But the neatest thing was for the first exercise that we did, she pulled together probably 4 or 5 fabrics from my stash that I thought were very disparate from one another.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought we'd just pick one fabric and then go find things to go with it. But she pulled 4 things together, and I was like,
oh,
wow, those 4 are going in a quilt
together.
Okay. And they were all kind of big, busy, bold prints. And the lesson that we talked about here was that sometimes when people pick, a common mistake is they pick a busy print and then they try to surround it with a lot of small, little prints to support it.
Mm-hmm.
And Weeks' explanation for that was, think of it like a cocktail party. if there's one loud person in the group, it's annoying, right?
Mm-hmm.
You've all been there.
Oh, yeah.
But if there are several loud people in the bunch, it's a lively party.
Mm-hmm.
And so she picked these four sort of loud prints and put them all together. And then we added a few more loud prints to the mix.
Why not?
Why not? Make it a better party, right? But part of toning that down is finding something to sort of bridge between those. And the common thread among these four were that they all had sort of a red, brick red, black, or both colors in the,
oh, okay,
in the fabrics. And then we looked for something in solid or a little bit tone on tone in scale to mediate the difference between those. And then she also suggested some patterns that they have for Modern Quilt Studio that could make this all work together. And
right,
one of the things I think that was most successful in the article was not only did we show them how we mediated that between those four busy prints, but also then we made one of the color options in the magazine from the fabrics that we put together so people could see it in action.
Oh, that's perfect. Yeah, because you could build a palette on the table, but then what do you make from it? You
know, right.
The next thing is what kind of quilt will you make to showcase it?
Right.
Oh. Now, does she use a lot of solids to help out with this? Or
Sometimes there is a solid or a tone-on-tone in the mix. And again, it's just to create a visual breaking point. And what we talked a lot about was when you have busy prints up next to one another, sometimes you can't see where one stops and another begins.
Mm-hmm.
And one of their theories behind why we do what we do, and I agree with it, is that if we're going to take the time to do the patchwork, what we want to see is the pieces.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can make a whole cloth quilt if you have a great fabric that you love, but if you want to see the piecing that you've put into and the work, then you want to separate them from one another. So sometimes it's adding a very thin piece of solid or tone on tone, but sometimes it's also, you know, just wanting to stop the piecing or stop the eye.
Right.
And then start it up again where another piece starts.
So you were on vacation recently.
I was. And I often love to stop at quilt shops. And this is another thing that a lot of quilters do. You buy that piece of vacation fabric. So have you done that, Pat?
Oh, yeah. I have a tea towel from Ireland because we couldn't find regular fabric.
Right.
So it was had, you know, Irish stuff on it. And I still have it. And it's not in anything yet.
Absolutely. One of my favorite things we did in this article was a piece with vacation fabric from Cape Cod.
Hmm.
And it had a white background on it and blue cottages and some type on it. And the color option that we made using this, I think, was really an extraordinary one. And the learning that I got from this piece was sometimes you can just incorporate that piece of fabric into a quilt and you don't have to make it about the Cape Cod summer cottage quilt. It can really be just focusing on the fabric. So in this case, the fabric had white and blue.
Mm-hmm.
And so the pieces that she chose in the quilt shop to go along with this one were all had that white in them. And sometimes white can be a problem because if you have it in a quilt, it really pops out. But if you own it and embrace it and just say, you know what, this is going to be my red, white, and blue quilt,
mm-hmm,
and I'm going to choose red and whites and blue and whites, and it can be a variety of prints or checks to go along with it. We added a nice red toile to go with it.
Mm.
But really owning that white and making a deliberate attempt in every fabric that we added to it to add white in that print really helped make the cohesiveness of it go together.
You know, I think that's a really, really good tip because I actually was teaching recently and one of the ladies told me that she's actually stopped buying fabrics with white backgrounds because she never knows what to do with them. And being able to think of that as your key point, use your white background.
Right, and mix it with other fabrics that have a white background and keep them together can really add to the
It needs friends.
It does need friends. It would be lonely by itself.
Yeah, no party.
Sort of another thing that we did a lesson on in the Stash RX story was in addition to vacation prints, sometimes we get caught up in a theme print that we loved. And I had one that was a Route 66 theme print. It was really large. I mean, you could think like almost Hawaiian shirt large print. And I think a common mistake that we make is we try to force those into a quilt pattern that doesn't have pieces big enough to showcase that print.
Mm-hmm.
And so for that, what we did was just chose a few companion prints, but thought about that print in a way that we were just going to use it as a really big quilt center
mm-hmm.
and frame it with these other prints that made it almost look like a frame around that beautiful print, because cutting it up, you would have lost the mood and sort of the painterly effect of it. So it was a great thinking about that print in a new way. Like, don't think about cutting it up into little pieces and having to fussy cut it and waste it. Just use it as it is.
And they make great sizes for like a baby quilt or a wall hanging.
Right.
When you do that, you can just frame it out.
Right. And I think a throw, a lot of especially guy prints, novelty mm-hmm. prints that are themed around motorcycles or hunting or things like that, you don't really want to cut them up. You don't want to make them too fussy in a project. You just want them to be what they are and to let the recipient know, you know what, I was thinking of you. I thought of this mm-hmm. fabric and it made me think, oh, this is perfect for my friend. Or,
and you could even look at a medallion quilt pattern and just take out the center piecing and for the size of your...
That's a terrific idea.
And then just finish it out there.
Right. Super easy.
Yes. Okay, I'm going to do it.
All right. I can't wait to see a picture of it.
Okay.
Another thing that we're commonly taught as quilters, I think, is to look at the salvage. If you're trying to figure out companion pieces to go with a print, and you look at those dots on the salvage and you find prints that match those colors exactly, then you'll have something that works together. And Bill and Weeks kind of have a different take on that, which I appreciated, you know, hearing about. And that is that you look at those salvage dots, but don't pick something that matches exactly. Pick something that's a step up or a step down from those. And their thinking is that when you're piecing again, putting those patchwork pieces together, that if you have colors that match exactly, you can sometimes create a visual hole in the quilt because the background of one piece blends with what abuts it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you pick something that's slightly above or below, you create a little contrast. Your eye knows that there's piecing there. And Weeks' advice there was, you know, you're not wearing it. Sometimes when we're wearing something, we want the shades to match exactly.
Yeah.
But a quilt is different. You're not wearing it. You want people to notice your patchwork and your attention to the piecing that you did. So don't match it exactly. Go ahead and mix it up a little. And I know I've heard other designers that I've talked to talk about how important it is to have a variety of reds in a quilt or a variety right. of blues in a quilt, that you don't want something that looks like it all came from the same dye lot because you miss what's happening there.
You know, I think this is just so interesting to have a way to, like a plan, like you were saying.
Right.
Do you think you could stay and talk a little bit longer about this?
I'd love to.
All right. So what we're going to do is we'll take a little break and then we'll come back and we have some more tips for your Stash RX. This is American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. We'll be right back. Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and we are talking about Stash RX with Jennifer Keltner. Jennifer, this is so exciting because people love to learn how to use what they have and use those sort of big prints and odd prints and things we don't know what to do with.
Exactly. Well, another thing that we talked about in this class with Weeks was how to mix together geometrics and florals. I mean, as quilters, I think, you know, a quilt of all florals, no problem. If it's all about graphic prints, that's a piece of cake. But what happens if you want to put your florals and your stripes in the same quilt? And I describe that as sort of the deer in the headlights look. When Weeks pulled the next few pieces out of my stash, she had three florals that I didn't think looked like they could go together at all,
mm-hmm.
and a couple of pretty bold stripes that I had collected. And again, they were fabrics I loved, but I just hadn't found anything to go with them. So she pulled this group of five out, and I honestly looked at it and thought, there is no way these things are going into a quilt together.
Challenge.
Exactly. And what she said when she looked at this group was that it was all about bridging. So think about interior designers. As a rule of thumb, if you're an interior designer and you add a color into a room once, they recommend that you should have that color appear twice more to complete the look.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what this lesson was about. When you have these things that are disparate from one another, if you bridge them and add those same colors in other fabrics, you can make it go together. And so there's a great sort of little timeline of fabrics, if you will, all laid out in a photo in this section where you can see how you make that bridge and how you add, so there was a gold fabric in there and you bridge to a darker value of gold by finding one that has not just one shade, but two in it. Or there was sort of an unusual shade of green and it got picked up in another fabric. So it's about repeating those colors.
You know, the stripes are another thing that some people love, like me. You know, I collect stripes.
Right.
And then other people just totally avoid. Did she have any thoughts on the stripe, the, you know?
She is pretty deliberate. She and Bill and the quilts they do for Modern Quilt Studio are pretty deliberate about placement of stripes. And again, I think this is a personal preference.
Mm-hmm.
Some people use stripes and they go every which way. And other people, when they cut their pieces, are very deliberate. They want the stripes all running in one direction. The other tip I've picked up over the years from people who are a little bit hesitant to use stripes is that you get to decide what the right side of the fabric is. And maybe the stripe is a little bit less contrasty on the wrong side of the fabric. And so they'll flip it around and use the wrong side as the right side in their quilt to sort of lessen it. And I've seen it used very successfully there as an applique background, too. So,
oh, that's a great tip.
Another great idea.
Turning it over. Now, you know, sometimes we end up with some leftovers. Imagine that.
Right. We bought more than we might have thought, or we were going to make a king size and we ended up with a twin. And what do you do with those pieces? Well, I had a couple of pieces that were left over from a holiday project that I had done. So lots of red and green, but tone on tone prints, nothing very exciting about it, but it was too much to just discard.
Mm-hmm.
And so the last lesson of the article that we did was, you know, you have these tone on tone or what some people would think of as more knitsy prints, not really a star in the bunch. What do you do with them?
Mm-hmm.
Our inclination as quilters is often to take them to the quilt store and to try to find that one really wow print that can tie it together that has red and green in it.
Yeah.
And I go back to that discussion we had earlier about the cocktail party. If there's one really loud person, it doesn't always work. So Week's suggestion was not to find that one giant print that ties it together, but to really focus on the feeling and the mood of those prints, as I said, was sort of a tone-on-tone or a small print. And so we pulled out other colors. The common thing in doing this that you want to avoid is sort of that rainbow look. You don't want it to look like a crayon box of I just picked red, green, blue, yellow, black.
Right.
You know, but she added together a variety of prints, and some of them were checks, some of them were sort of mottled look. Some of them were small tone on tones, and some had a little bit of contrast with them. But whether they were batiks, cottons, wovens, we looked at the scale of the prints. And then we looked for adding unsaturated grays and kind of gray browns to this mix. And that was the feeling of the original two prints.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't go for red browns. And again, this is sort of a subtle thing, but when you see these in the printout, and again, you can go to allpeoplequilt.com/stashrx and print it out, and you'll see that there's sort of a tone of saturated color in these that all matches. And if you wear glasses and can take your glasses off, you'll often see the one print that stands out. But if you can't, you know, you have the red ruby beholder kind of thing. There are some tools at the quilt shop.
Take photos, too.
Photos with your digital camera.
Yeah, on your phone.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You can kind of pull out the one that you're like, this one doesn't really fit in.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you can't articulate what it is about it that doesn't work, that's a great way, taking a camera photo to do that. But adding a mix of dark to light and contrast, and we came up with a sort of a beautiful mix of things, and you'll get to see a color option also made out of those.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to ask. So you made a quilt or two out of what was going on here?
Right. There are five of them
That
we put together from these different collections of fabrics that we came up with. So it wasn't just a lesson in theory. It was really one in practice. And in that article, you'll get to see, and throughout that issue, those color options made with patterns from American Patchwork and Quilting Magazine into actual quilt options. And you can see how the colors work together. Now, the scariest part of this whole day to me was, you know, Weeks kind of walked me through my stash and finding other things and explaining it. And I wrote the article and was able to articulate her thoughts. But at the end of the day, there were, you know, the dregs of my stash left, like the things she hadn't picked.
Right.
And at that point, she said, now I want you to pick. And she pulled five things out of what remained and said, now you go pick things to go with this to make it a quilt. And again, she handed me this stash of four fabrics that I would never have thought to put together in a mm-hmm. quilt. I would have thought they were all sort of onesies or twosies in my stash. And so I took those four fabrics and I went out into the quilt shop and I thought, wow, if I blow this, you know, I will not be a very good pupil. So I could write about it. Could I really put it into action? But Weeks was a great teacher. And so I took it out and I made a palette of it. And I really thought about bridging the differences in colors because what she gave me had some sort of limey greens and then a little bit of olivey green in it as well. And a navy blue, which I am sometimes allergic to blue, so I don't know what got me into this piece in my stash that had a navy blue background. But I took them out and I put them together. And I did sort of incorporate the lessons of looking at the salvage and trying to find colors that were a step up or a step below mm-hmm. and trying not to just mediate it with all tone on tones, but add some other big prints or some bold things in with it. And the lesson that I learned from my first effort, and again, we put together a slideshow of my lesson alone. So at allpeoplequilt.com/757, just the number 757 at the end, you can see this stash RX slideshow of my lesson. But what I learned from it was on my first attempt when I pulled all the fabrics together, I sort of went with an equal mix. I had blues, I had greens, and I had purples. And I pulled them together and I stacked them up on the cutting table at the shop. And I looked at it and they all went together. I mean, I did pretty well with the color thing. Mm-hmm. But what I missed on was the balance of things. So I had to back off. And Week's advice there was, we're often taught that things in equal measure or equal proportion are pleasing in a room setting or in what you're wearing. But again, like a great accessory, too much can be too much. Mm-hmm. So I had to back off of my assortment and go mostly with a blue and green palette.
Okay.
And then add a little bit of purple, but cut back and pull away some of the purples that I had added. Because the one-third, mm-hmm. your eye didn't really know what you were to focus on, mm-hmm. if that makes sense.
Was it real tonal also? Did that pulling any out?
It wasn't really tonal. It was just that the purple was too heavy in the mix overall, and it was so balanced that mm-hmm. nothing was more interesting than anything else. So actually, by taking away some of the purple that was a little bit more saturated in color than the other two, it gave it a great pop. And I liken that to a great outfit that you're wearing when you have that scarf on that people are like, oh my gosh, that's a perfect scarf. Well, you've sort of set the background for that scarf to pop off your outfit or that mm-hmm. great piece of jewelry. That's how this mix went for me. It created a better background by having a balance of greens and blues and just adding that punch mm-hmm. of purple to it.
Now, did you play around with maybe taking one of the other colors away and leaving?
I did, mm-hmm. and you could just tell instantly by looking at the pile that it was like, yeah, that's not right. and some of that, and I think the other thing to remember in the big scheme of things, I mean, as I said, we talked about doing this story for a long time because we know quilters have fabrics, and to a person, I've not met a quilter yet who doesn't say, what was I thinking, or I don't know why I like this, or I don't know what to do with this.
Yeah.
And it is a personal preference. It mm-hmm. is what you like. It is the combination that you like. And we've talked before about, you know, there aren't colors that go together or don't go together. Mm-hmm. There are colors that you like together or I like together. Mm-hmm. So do what makes you happy. But if you're not happy with the mix you've got, reading an article like this can help you sort of figure out what some rules of color are and not thinking about it in terms of color theory or art, but just, why do these things work together? Or how do I put them together? Or what could I think about adding to this mix that would make this a pleasing quilt to me?
Yeah, I think this is like a plan. So you've sort of, you know, worked with Weeks. She shared a plan. Right. And then you wrote up the article to help give everybody else a peek at that plan.
Right.
And tools, a new tool set. Great. This is just wonderful. Now I have to go play around with my fabric.
I know. It made me want to go home and get another 40 pounds of stash out and make more quilts.
There we go. Well, thank you, Jennifer. This has been wonderful.
You're welcome.
Thanks for being here. This is Pat Sloan with American Patchwork and Quilting Podcast. a new show every week at allpeoplequilt.com on the podcast page. You can visit me at patsloan.com. Check out my event page. Maybe we can meet in person. Visit American Patchwork and Quilting Magazine at allpeoplequilt.com for tips and tricks and videos and free patterns. So we'll see you next week.
Visit allpeoplequilt.com for more information on topics from today's show, as well as how-to videos, free printable patterns, and additional tips and techniques.